hi there, everybody. This is Armand Demel with you with The Positive Mind here on WBAI 99.5 FM on your dial with Ben Starr and Julian Joiello, having recovered from the havoc of a storm that just kept me out of work. So we replayed something for you yesterday because it was such a scary day. Horrible. I mean, We dug out. We got here. We took sleds to get to our office and skis, and we're now here working for you once again. Having lost one of those precious days, and we're going to have a loss of quite a few precious days in the future because we're coming up to a fund drive. Fund drive means we're going to be raising money for the station during February, which we like to do. But we will not be on air next week. We'll be on the following week. We'll be bringing you a two-hour special about the four horsemen of the apocalyptic relationship. We're going to talk to you about the disaster of contempt when it takes place between people.
And that two-hour special coming up in February is going to be closely tied to a lot of what we're going to get to today.
Yeah, what day is it going to be on? What's the second Wednesday?
February 11th, I believe.
Yeah. 11th, yeah. Right. February 11th.
February 11th.
On the 11th, we will be... That's a Tuesday or a Wednesday?
Wednesday.
Wednesday, February 11th. Make a note in your books, my friend, because this is going to be the kind of stuff that goes wrong, because part of what goes wrong is what we're talking about today. A fortune cookie. Ready? Fortune cookie says to me, never stand on your side during an argument. You know, I've been knocked out by many things in life. There are many times I've kind of laid my head back and heard wisdom from different places. The fortune cookie. Never stand on your side during an argument. What a brilliant thing. What a brilliant thought. Because that's what happens to me in arguments. I get on my side and I stay on my side. What I really want to do is be able to go over to your side and understand from your side what you hear me saying so that I could express to you in a proper way so that you could get what I'm saying. But if I stay on my side, I say it in such a way you can't possibly hear me.
Because the perspective isn't there.
No perspective. And the most important thing in an argument, what Julian, you were saying.
Yeah, I mean, I know when I'm in an argument, I just want the other person to understand me. And I want to hear them just hear me and understand me.
That's you don't need to win?
For me, that's the win, just that they understand what I'm saying in the way that I understand it. And a lot of the time I'll get stuck there, totally. Like I feel like I get trapped in just trying, like the frustration of not having that person really understand what I'm saying.
So you want the other person to demonstrate to you that they understand and at least relate in some way to your perspective.
Yeah, a lot of time, even if an argument ends, it doesn't really end for me because it'll come back until they can say, well, yeah, I see where you're coming from. Or I get what you're saying.
Are those the magic words for you in the argument?
I guess if I was to look back at it, yeah. I mean, a lot of the time, it probably is. Because then I feel like no matter what, the facts are there that I believe in. And now that choice can be made if you are right or wrong because we have everything on the table. And
Richie,
I'm understood.
Richie Kreidman said there's a rule to relationships. When people are having an argument, you always have to figure out, are they meant to be constructive or destructive? Some arguments are just meant to be destructive. I'm here to get you. I'm here to hurt you. I'm here to get even.
Right, the devil's advocate.
I want to be right and show you that you're wrong.
I want to prove you're wrong. I'm going to make you wrong. I want to punish you.
And what really comes out of that besides, I don't know, I guess resentment?
Well, that's later. But the intention is to hurt. That's what some arguments are about. The other way, another argument is constructive. I argue with you because, like Julian says, I want you to understand so that we could grow together, so that we could get this together. I want us to understand this.
So what would be an example of a constructive argument?
Constructive argument is don't walk on the white rug with your shoes. Right? It makes me angry when you wear your shoes and you walk on the white rug when you're out in the mud.
Right. Don't you understand that the mud stains the rug?
And the rug I have to be cleaned has to be cleaned by me.
Right.
So this is my argument. You say, hey, it's my house, it's my rug, it's my shoes, I do whatever I want. You get both stuck on that same side, on two different sides. What's missing is that there's a love there. And the love is, well, look, honey, I don't want you to feel bad. I don't want you to be bending over and cleaning the rug. And I'll do something. I'll try to wipe my shoes before I come in. There's something like that.
Because ultimately we want to share a nice home together that doesn't have mud on the rug.
Because ultimately we want to share a love together. Even at work. How many of you have recently been stuck in an argument? 212-957-2729. It's going to be our last time to be able to take your calls for a while. So do make your calls, 212-957-2729. You get caught in arguments. You get stuck in it. You don't know which way to go. You wind up on your own side. And then you even forget what you're arguing about.
Yeah, and sometimes I feel like myself, like just to save myself the embarrassment, even if the argument sort of does fizzle away, I stick to it because I have to stick to my guns almost.
There's pride at stake.
Right, yeah. Like after 20 minutes of arguing, you don't want to give in because then
you're so invested at that point
right.
that, you know, just to give in.
Well, I'm not sure that that's the motive. The motive, I think somewhat what you're saying, Ben, your energy becomes fixated. It becomes fixed. Now you're in a win position. I have to win. But I often wonder, and I think this to myself, every time I ever have an argument with someone who is close to me, an intimate. Every time I have an argument, I ask myself the question, what do I hope to win? How do I win this? Do I win it by the person saying, oh, you're right, I'm wrong, I apologize, I'm sorry, I made a mistake? Is that what I'm looking for? Yeah, I like that one. That's pretty good, okay? Do I win if they say, okay, I see it your way, I don't agree with you, but I understand what you're talking about. Yeah, that's okay.
No, it's kind of Julian's example.
Yeah, or then there's this other one, which is, I totally disagree with you. I totally disagree with you, and you're wrong, and I'm right. Never been a wrong-right argument that I've been in that I've won. We have somebody on the line. Let's speak to Robbie. Hi, Robbie, you're on the air.
Hey, Armand, great show. Regarding what you guys are talking today, I can really relate because I work as a payment collector. And
a what collector?
A payment collector.
Payment collector. I thought you said a semen collector. I'm sorry.
We get into this type of conversation when people do not communicate well, so it's about like an argument, like why are you here when you're not supposed to be here? You said you're gonna be ready with the payment or whatever. It's not only about the money itself. It's a way that I found on my end that people do not communicate.
Could you do me a favor, Robbie? Could you take it off speakerphone and put it up to your ear, and this way we could maybe get a little better location. So now you're very important. You're a payment collector and you collect payments and you go to people and you try to present your reason for saying to them, you got to pay up the money you owe. And they're saying to you, I don't want to pay the money I owe. And now you're going to try to present some kind of argument as to why they should do it.
Well, with my line of work, I've been working for that for 3 years. So I found my way to talk. Every person is different, but you approach everyone differently if you talk in terms of respect. But I waste my time if he does not communicate with me when he's not ready with his payment. I said, I understand your situation and what you're going through, but you have to communicate with me so I won't have to waste my own time.
Now, Robbie, let me ask you something. There are two things that have been kind of taught down through the ages. There are certain people you never argue with, and there's certain people you never talk to. And one of the words of wisdom that came out of my neighborhood is never talk to a bill collector. Mm-hmm. Don't even talk to them. They have no power whatsoever. They're just going to threaten you and they're going to do things. But don't talk to them, because all they want to do is get something from you.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you have to deal with all the time, right?
Well, kind of. It's more relationship prone, because if they ruin the relationship, they're going to need me later. So it's like with everything, it's depends on trust. The trust you give and the trust you get.
So you think that you benefit people in some way?
I learned that it's not black and white. It's very gray.
Yeah, now let me ask you something about this in your family. Okay. In your very family, in your relationship with your wife, you're married, aren't you?
I am married, yes.
Yeah, I could hear that. In your relationship with your wife, do you have the same kind of thing where you're trying to argue with her about what's right and what's wrong?
Not about what's right and what's wrong, but my responsibilities and her responsibilities, and we try that it won't create like an argument if we don't do what we agreed on doing.
Okay, so you need your wife to stick to her agreement, and she very frequently does not.
Yeah, sometimes. Me neither. I mean, nobody.
So what do you need? What do you need with your wife? What do you need with her to help develop a more collaborative relationship?
Exactly.
So that the two of you could work closer together to find solutions rather than in opposition.
Mm-hmm.
What do you need? What do you need to do? You need to give her a bill?
If I need to give her a bill?
Right.
Yeah, I mean, when it comes to money, I think a lot of couples, me, I run into that too, because before I married my wife, I was not in a very long relationship beforehand. So when it comes like to who pays or what our responsibilities are, it should be very clear, so we will not go to the more emotional, or it should be treated as money, because that's what it is.
So you got married. When did you get married? Was this for the first time? Did you marry a Sabra?
Yeah.
I thought so, yeah.
I'm 28.
Yeah. You married a Sabra.
Yeah.
God bless. That's not easy.
Yeah, you learn to live with another person.
Tell people why living with a Sabra is different.
With what?
A Sabra is different.
Yeah.
Well, Robbie, I thank you very much for calling in, and thank you for your contribution.
And thank you.
I wish you a lot of luck.
Thanks.
212-957-2729. Don't you dare ask me, Ben. Don't you dare ask me, Ben.
I'm not going to ask, but I was thinking before that phone call, you were talking about the different outcomes.
You're not going to ask me about the Sabra?
No.
Huh. Okay.
I already know.
Okay.
But what I was thinking before, because you mentioned different outcomes of an argument, and I was thinking there are few things less satisfying than when someone says, "Let's agree to disagree."
You know, oh my gosh!
You know that phrase? It drives me crazy. It
drives you crazy?
Yeah. I don't know. That's just me.
So what the person is saying, all right, let's agree that we can't agree on, but I can't imagine anything that we disagree on. All right, yes. Was the storm warning necessary yesterday? Yes, no. I don't agree. I do agree.
Well, the reason I say it is because it often comes at the end of a long and drawn-out argument.
That's the pain in the butt. You know, that's the worst part of it. Any argument that takes longer than 20 minutes should not be had. Any discussion over
I'll buy that.
Any discussion over 20 minutes should not be had. How about how long should a text message be? What do you think? You think maximum 10 words?
Yeah, keep it under like 15, the 2-3 sentences tops, right?
That's it, right?
There should not be paragraphs in text messages.
Oh, there are when I dictate them.
I know, but it, in general, I don't think, I think if you're writing paragraphs, then it's an email.
Right.
You know, or a letter.
Or a letter.
Yeah, it should be, you know, written down.
But arguing over text message is such a crazy thing.
Oh, it really is.
The
yeah.
words don't make any sense with anything.
I know plenty of people who argue in paragraphs.
Paragraph. Hey, so let's see. Larry, we have Larry on the phone. Larry, this is Armand DeMille. Hi, you're on the air with us. You been in an argument?
Well, I get in arguments with my wife, but I kind of learned over the years now that I just kind of, no matter if I think she might not be 100%, because most women think they're 100% right all the time, I just kind of take the bigger person. And
give
just,
me an example of it, Larry. Give me an example of a time when she wanted to have an argument with you over something and you didn't necessarily want to engage in the argument.
It could be a simple thing as she wanted a dog, and at the beginning when she bought this dog, I was like, honey, you're going to get this dog, and listen, this dog takes a lot, you know, preparation. You know, she has to get a haircut, has to get nails done, and all this type of stuff. I said, well, without jobs, I'm not going to have time for that, because my daughter had went to school. One day I came home, my wife brought the dog home, and then now she expects me to walk it. And then when I bring up about, you know, at the beginning, I didn't really actually want the dog and stuff like that, everything. I just go out and walk the dog. She'll say, well, it's a part of the family. You know, the baby's in school now and blah, 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 blah. And then I just kindly get the leash and just go walk the dog.
You see, now, unfortunately, Larry, I understand, but you sound like every time you do that, you put the leash around your own neck.
Somebody needs to walk me, huh?
That's what it sounds like. It sounds like you're walking yourself, you know, that you become the dog and you're getting walked. And it's very tough. It's very tough not to stick with somebody's impulse and something that somebody desires. But there's got to be a point in life when you say no before your genitals do. You see what?
All right,
that's what happens. It's what happens. It's what happens. What happens is a man says, all right, I'll go walk the dog. And then he comes back and he loses all sexual interest in his wife because of things like this, because of things like buried arguments, buried anger.
Well, I try to not let that get in the way of
or maybe
especially
one of the,
not that.
Okay, so maybe one of the things you do is you have feel the reward of having a very ample, good, positive sexual life. And for that, you're willing to walk the dog.
Yeah.
Okay.
I look at it like that. There was another thing I wanted to say too, Armand. It was a show a couple of days back, last week. You were talking about fear as well. And I didn't get a chance to call in then, but I also wanted to say fear to me is a choice. I mean, you know, because you're fearing something that at present or in the future may not ever exist. So I think that's a choice, you know, to actually fear something, because again, don't get me wrong, danger is real. Danger is something else, but fear, I think fear is a choice.
But Larry, I don't think you ever really feel fear.
No, not me per se.
Yeah, I know. But what about you per se? But you're ready to lecture on something you don't know anything about, you see?
Oh, okay.
Here's what I'm saying to you is you don't know fear because you don't feel fear. Now, if you don't feel fear, you can't tell people about how not to feel fear because you're automatically protected, which is fine.
I have felt fear about certain things and anxieties and fear about certain things, but I learned to overcome it because I built up all this anxiety for something that didn't even happen. You know,
and
I
you've learned over time
that
you don't
never
have
even
to.
Took place.
And you've learned over time it didn't take place. It's not going to take place.
It didn't take place. You know, and I'm fearing something that I don't even know what I don't even have the I can't handle it or make the decision how it's going to turn out, if it's going to happen or not. So I just learned to not, you know, it took time for me to do this.
Sure.
But I worked on that, worked on it, and until now I'm not going to say I'm fearless for everything. I'm afraid of danger, but fear itself or certain things, I kind of not fear anything because, again, at present, may or in the future may or may not ever come to come into play.
I hear you, Larry. Larry, what are you going to do for your wife for Valentine's Day?
What am I going to do? I'm thinking about taking her to an oldies concert at the Beacon Theater there. They're having, I think, the Shy Lights, Delphonic.
Oh, sounds fantastic.
She likes that old bebop to boobop stuff, so I think I'm going to take her there.
The Beacon Theater on Valentine's Day with your wife? You got a bunch of heads nodding right here. I think I may even join you there.
Oh, well, I hope to see you, Armel.
Just look for me.
I will.
Nice to talk to you.
You too.
I'm the big guy. Somebody wrote me just recently. I said to him, you know, I'm a bit of an ox. And he looked at my photo and he saw that it was I'm a sizable man. And he looked at he said, no, I always thought you were really small and skinny and very old. And but he told me he's a very diminished person. And then I realized that people project into my voice whoever they knew that was kind to them. So if they had a grandfather who was kind, that's what they imagined me to look like. See, if they had an uncle that was kind, that's what they imagined me to look like. 212-957-2729. Focusing on taking your calls today, we are talking about fear and being in arguments that you get stuck.
You know, you mentioned to Larry talking about buried arguments, and it made me think, like, how many arguments that we have are about something completely other than what we think we're arguing about.
Oh, almost never, right? I'm never involved. If I'm in an argument, there's something wrong with me. What am I going to argue about? You have a choice, I have a choice. If I'm in an argument, it usually means I'm carrying some load from somewhere else.
That's what I mean. The argument is superficially about one thing, but it's really about something that's unresolved.
You know, it's like a valve. It's like a valve, like a steam valve. You know, the steam is on the inside and the valve is going off, and you happen to be there when the valve is going off. Let's take Michael. Michael, you're on the air. This is Armand DeMille. Hi.
Hi, Armand, and thank you for taking my call. It's interesting that I'm involved emotionally in anger at my spouse from yesterday. I don't really want to talk to her at all today. I usually solve these arguments by just letting her talk until she gets it all out, and then usually everything's okay. But right now, you know, I'm sort of ashamed of myself in a way that that I'm holding on to the anger, I've analyzed this over the years, and I mean, we've been together for a long time, almost 50 years now. And when I say together, I don't mean together. Like, I'd say we've been alone together.
Yes, I understand, like roommates.
Yeah, well, that's definitely where it's kind of act right now. Occasionally, there's a little bit of intimacy on a physical level, but not much.
Yeah, you must be lonely.
Angry?
Lonely.
Lonely. Lonely.
Interesting. Stop for a minute, Larry. Take that word. Michael's, take that word. Lonely. Nobody around anymore.
Mm.
You feel it?
Yeah, I know I get a lot from contact with people, and I don't reach out easily.
Michael, tell me about your father.
Well, he was mentally ill. They called it manic depression in those days, and there was no lithium. So he did some pretty weird stuff, what was very embarrassing and scary.
Mm-hmm.
And I avoided, and when I grew up and I was on my own, I tried to avoid him.
Mm-hmm.
I was ashamed of him. Mm-hmm. And I was also felt very guilty.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, he was reaching out as best he could in his own way. And it was very embarrassing. You know, he'd show up where I was working and all kinds of stuff.
Michael, if you could get through the ethers a communication with your father right now, if he could hear your voice, even through just the words being transformed into waves, don't say, I'm sorry. Say, I regret, and see what you would say with him.
yeah.
I regret
that we couldn't stay close to each other, that I was unable to do my side of it in staying close to you. I know you did your best. I regret that we didn't have a relationship and that I avoided you.
And
I
so
feel
you,
bad. I feel sad.
I hear it. So here's what I hear. Michael, I hear inside you that original loss is still festering somewhere inside you, and that what happens as a result of that is you turn to the very few people around you, including your wife, hoping there'll be some understanding or somebody who could connect you. And I hear that you don't feel connected. And I hear that this is very important to you at this point in your life, that somewhere in this 70-year-old that you are now, or whatever you are, that there's a piece that's missing, and you would like to connect. And you're almost giving up on it. Now, in this last argument with your wife, you refused to turn down Michael. You refused to throw him away this time. So I think that's a good thing. I think that's the start of something. But what I would really like to see is I would like to see you take the next step. I would like to see you take that dip inside you to the part of the past that you have not yet recovered from. Because you sound to me like someone who's got like a post-traumatic stress disorder. See, this loss and the way that you have this loss and the all of the fear that you have that goes along with it. So if you would, I would like you to send me an email. And I would like to connect you with something that would maybe open this door a little bit. Because you've got wings that have yet unfluttered.
Thank you, Armand.
Yeah. Get in touch with me. Armand@thepositivemind.com.
Got it.
Good. My heart goes out to men. More so than anybody else. Because I know the man's plight. I know what it's like to be a man. I know what it's like to be a man trying to grow up in this world. And sometimes when you listen to men and their arguments with women and their feelings towards women, you know what's missing here is the man with his own father. So we're going to take a look more at that when we get back. We're going to take a short break. Remember to be back with us in 2 weeks on February 11th. We'll be putting down a program about dealing with the four horsemen of the apocalypse, which has to include criticism, contempt, defensiveness, and stonewalling. We're actually in the middle of, we're going to be doing this in just about, we're going to start next week, but we won't be on with you next week. So remember now, my friends, in an argument, the Chinese fortune cookie said the following. Never stand on your side during an argument. Try to get on the other side. We'll be back with you in just a couple of minutes. Thank you.
Cannonball Adderley and Miles Davis, Autumn Leaves.
Sam Jones on bass and Hank Jones on piano. They used to live in my building on 6th Street between 2nd and 3rd Avenue. 1st and 2nd Avenue. So they would be upstairs and you'd be listening to these two guys and the other guys in the building. Amazing, remarkable people. And it's the sound of this is not a sound that's been produced since.
A 57-year-old recording coming at you live from 57th Street.
Really, 57-year-old recording from 50? Wow. So what year was it done?
1958.
That's how it's right there. That's it. That's it. I was on 6th Street right at that very, very moment.
Listening to this, I feel like I could be there, too. It's kind of cool.
You are. You live down there now. It's right.
It's true.
Right in your neighborhood.
Yeah.
This is Armand DeMille with you. We're listening to... I'm sorry. We're all romancing Miles Davis and Autumn Leaves. Wouldn't you like to have Autumn Leaves? Not bad. We'd have winter leaves. So listen, my friends, we're talking about getting stuck in an argument. The telephone number here is 212-957-2729. And I have too many men have called in. I want to hear from Carol. Is there where's Carol when you need her?
I'm right here, Armand.
Hello, Carol, darling.
Thank you for the beautiful music.
Nice, isn't it? Nice to sit back
in our lives. Thank you.
Yeah, you don't get stuck in arguments, do you, Carol?
You know, Armand, I don't argue a lot, no. But when I do, I get very passionate, and I want you to know that I'm right because I usually am.
Give me an example of when you had an argument recently where you were right.
You know what? I argue mostly about politics.
Quality.
Politics.
Politics.
Politics, you know, anything having to do with justice.
Because you don't like injustice.
Any
way you see injustice, you feel like you have to fight it.
I feel that way. I've never had to physically fight anyone, but I really feel that if I were to ever get into a physical, it would be over some injustice, either to myself or to someone else.
Yeah, yeah, good. Did you have younger sisters and brothers?
Yes, yeah. I am the second of five.
Yeah, okay, so you know what it's like to be a protector.
Yes, yeah.
Well, are you arguing with anybody nowadays?
My mate, about politics.
Okay, now what's the argument about? I want to know, and I'm not going to ask you for details about who, but what's the truth? What does he think? Does he think that life should be more male or more female?
You know what? We argue about, I will normally argue on behalf of, colored people, colored folks.
Okay, you'd argue on behalf of them, and he would argue.
And he will say no. He's not able to see the history.
Okay, so your mate does not understand the impact that being black has had on a society, on a whole world. He sees it as no. Wait a minute. This is no longer an issue. Now it's not that.
Yeah, you pull yourself up.
You pull yourself up.
If you don't make it, it's your fault.
And you're going to make it. Now this is a wonderful thing because the two of you together represent the entire universe.
Okay.
He represents the individual and you represent the entire race. So this is a beautiful thing. Why are the two of you not kissing each other?
we do eventually, Armand. But...
But don't let yourself separate over a political argument.
Sorry, pardon?
Don't let yourself separate over a political argument. When's the last time you made sweet potato pie?
I've never made it, actually.
Yeah, you know, he likes it, though.
Yeah.
Maybe it's time to make him one.
Okay, I'll try to.
Go ahead. But what?
No, I'm saying I'll try because I've never made one before because I really don't eat sweets.
You see, now there's a difference. He likes sweets.
Yes.
So he likes sweets and you don't eat sweets, so you don't make him sweets.
He loves fruits. I love vegetables.
Yeah, what a difference.
Mm-hmm.
So this is it. You gotta give him some fruits. Stop shoving vegetables at him, and you two of you will get along a lot better. Thanks for calling in, Carol.
Armand, one quick question, though.
Sure.
What's the difference between saying, I regret, versus I am sorry?
Okay, I am sorry means I apologize. I did a mistake. I did something wrong. I am sorry.
Yeah.
Now, that to me, that's an apology.
Okay.
I regret means something happened, took place, and it was unfortunate.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't feel like I played a role in it, but I regret it having happened.
Oh, I see. So when you're sorry, you played a role in it.
When I am sorry, I apologize because I know I'm wrong.
Okay.
Carol, thank you for calling in.
Thank you, Armand.
212-957-2729. It's a good question. Do you ever feel regrets?
Yeah, and I think using the phrase "I regret" is, in a way, it can be a cop out of a more heartfelt apology.
Well, okay, let's see that. I never see it that way, but you know, think about it in French. How would you say "I regret" in French?
Je regrette.
Right. What does that mean?
Is that a cop out? Means I regret.
But is it a cop out in French?
In a way. It's not, I'm sorry.
So how do you say I'm sorry in French?
You say, je suis désolé, or excuse-moi.
Well, wait, excuse-moi is nothing. That's a toss-away.
Yeah.
Je suis désolé.
Yeah, that's I'm sorry.
That's a real I'm sorry, right?
Yeah.
Now say those words to me, Ben. Je suis désolé.
Je suis désolé.
And now say the other one, je regrette.
Je regrette.
Which one feels right?
The first one.
Yeah, the first one feels real.
Mm-hmm.
So you could often use I regret as a way of distancing yourself from it.
Exactly.
Right. But you could use the other way as a way of admitting to and getting closer.
Embracing it and moving forward.
If you're French. 212-957-2729. You got to watch out. The Italians have different ways of doing it. 217.
Mi dispiace.
Mi dispiace.
Yeah, what are the in last... Chinese, I'm sorry means don't rise. So you literally say, please don't get up.
What does?
Dwebuchi.
Or don't rise up against me in your anger.
It's sort of like a...
No, wait a
don't,
minute.
Yeah, Julie. Don't almost don't rise, yeah, in Mandarin.
What are we talking about? Are we talking about bread? You're talking about in Mandarin. I was talking to a Mandarin guy today on the way down here, telling him about you, and he said, and you're saying that don't get I'm sorry is don't rise?
Don't rise. Literally don't rise, yeah.
Wow.
Don't get up. Chi means to rise, yeah.
212-957-2729. We're going to put that in context as soon as we speak to Jim. Hi, Jim, you're on the air.
Hi, Armand. I saw you maybe 3, 4, 6 years ago. You threw a Spalding across your desk.
Hey, Jim with the Spalding. Good for you. I always wondered what happened to my Spalding.
Oh, you still don't have it. Well, I'm kind of in a predicament.
Wait a minute. Let's go back about the Spalding. You and I grew up with Spaldings.
Yes, we did.
It was quite a shock when I tossed it over to you, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was
and
nice.
I caught it. Then I was going to keep it, but you wanted it back.
Okay.
I was in there with my then wife.
Your then wife, who you were having troubles with, which I remember saying to myself, this man and his wife have got to do something about this now. Because I remember you saying, do not invade. Leave this alone. Don't interfere with my relationship with my wife. That's what you said to me.
No, the truth is we didn't follow up and probably should have.
And, I'm so
you
sorry
know,
to
my
hear
predicament
it.
Now is we are divorced, but we divorced for financial reasons. We still stayed together. But I recently went through a rehabilitation in Phelps Hospital for alcoholism.
Yeah, okay.
So that was a root of our problem.
That was a root, yes.
That was one of the roots, yeah, the big one. And so right now, she tells me the door is still open, but it's taking a while. She wants to see how I go. But at the same time, she wants to date. She feels it's normal for her to have sex. And I don't know. I'm just going through a lot of, you know, I can't argue. I feel that I'm so guilty for, you know, being an alcoholic, even though I understand it's a disease, that, you know, I'm sort of in this predicament. Yesterday's show, you were talking about when you love someone and then you lose them, you even love them more.
Mm.
And that's where I'm at now.
Well, but, let's go back a little, Jim. If I remember right, you had this possessive feeling about your wife. It was so possessive that you wanted to protect your relationship as it was.
Probably.
You didn't want to look any deeper than what seemed to be there.
You know,
now
she's saying,
I needed to get rid of you. I need to be on my own. I need to see where we go, and I need to see if you could allow me to have some space.
Yep, that's exactly it, 100%. And I'm having a tough time with that. I realize that, you know, I have to, you know, back off, and I have. But all the rules are being set by her, and that's fine.
It's,
you know,
it's really tough. Is there any chance I get to see you again?
I would hope so, yes. I would love that.
You know, I think it might be important at this point. Maybe there are some guidelines.
That would be great.
That we could do, because this is an important thing, and I remember the two of you so. I remember it so fondly. I remember her defending your right to not have me interfere.
I don't remember, but whatever. You know, I surely could use help.
But good, so. Maybe you know, it's time. Maybe it just had to break the way it did, and that the next level is coming. Now you're going to say to me, you feel more deeply in love with her now than you did back then. But back then, it seemed like you couldn't have possibly loved her more.
I'm not sure.
Maybe
in some ways, yes. In some ways, I was having a tough time with the relationship.
Because the alcohol was in the middle.
Complaints. Now I have no complaints.
Yeah.
You know, I've changed completely because of the inpatient rehab, and then I'm, you know, in a day program, and I just threw myself into it 100%, and I got a lot out of it.
Oh, Jim, I'm so proud of you. That's so brave.
Yeah, well, thanks. You know, I'm still doing it. I'm in the clinic portion of it, and I'm really enjoying it, actually. You know, it's for the first, and I've absolutely changed completely. I look different. I'm taking care of myself differently. I've even changed politically.
Okay.
Believe it or not, I started out listening to BAI maybe 30 years or 40 years ago. And then somewhere along the line, I got hijacked over to Fox News.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm back on BAI with the same in-tune political views.
You're a beautiful man. Jim, I'm so glad you were able to get through this. Any way I could be of help, please.
Yeah, all right. I'll get in touch with you. Thank you, Armand.
Sure. Sometimes it's really amazing, 957-2729. It's amazing having seen so many people over the years. You were looking at the radio programs that we've done over the years. Do a fast run.
Yeah, so we have this binder here in the studio, and it has several pages with hundreds of shows that have happened here on The Positive Mind over the years. And at first glance, I mean, there were some that I recognized immediately.
Because you grew up with them.
Yeah, because I've been listening to the show for a long time, like the Being Mean to People You Love.
Uh-huh.
I remember that was a good one. The Loneliness of Men. That was another good one.
And so you run through all of these titles and subjects
pages and pages of all the great stuff that's been on the air over the years, and it's really interesting. And it's funny because when we were talking about potential upcoming subjects, I thought about whether or not something like this existed. I didn't ask you. And then now, the next time I saw you, you handed me this green binder, and you said, hey, look at this. It's kind of strange.
Yeah, just pulled it out. Let's say hello to Jackie. Jackie, you're on the air. This is Armand DeMille.
Hello, Armand. How are you?
Hello, Jackie. I'm good.
I was just chiming in on the argument thing. Are we still on that topic?
Yes. Okay. Yes, please.
Yeah, I feel like I'm probably the queen of that. When I have a point to make and I want my husband to see my point, I really can't stop until he's actually seen my point.
And so what does he do eventually, make believe he sees your point?
I think what he does is he's quiet. He'll just stop talking. And then he'll talk about something else, like, oh, you want to take the kids play riding? And it's
so,
kind of,
so here's a question for you,
yeah.
Jackie. Do you really win an argument, or do
no.
you just beat him into submission?
Yeah.
And then
no,
he
no,
goes
no.
away.
I want to be different, too. I want, but there's a point of me, there's a, I think part of it is about just being friends. It's like, you know, would you talk to your friend like that, or would you listen to your friend and make a sweet comment and kind of move it along?
Yeah.
You know?
No, I don't know, because what I hear in your voice is I hear that you're scared. Tell me what frightens you.
What frightens me, let's say. I am afraid that we're not as close as we could be, or that we're not the best friends that we should be, because we're here by choice, you know? This isn't a sentence. We're here to, you know...
Wait a minute. Before
together.
You go to the platitude, hold on a second there.
Okay.
Part of what Jackie is concerned about is that she lives in a certain dream house. And in her dream house, she has a husband. And this husband and she, they have a really nice time together. And this is really nice, but there's a lot of things they overlook. Part of what you're afraid of is that you're overlooking the fact that he probably may even not like you. And you don't know for sure.
Wow, you're so smart.
And that becomes essential.
Oh, my goodness. Very smart man.
What if he doesn't like you?
Yeah.
Talk to me about it.
Well, what if he doesn't like me? I guess...
How would you know?
How would I know? I have certain marks that tell me if he likes me or not. If he likes me, then he's going to do certain things for me.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to answer me certain ways. He's going to talk to me certain ways. And then I'm going to...
So I want
to
you...
Ways.
What's his first name?
Oh, I don't want to know if I want to say it on the radio.
Okay, let's call him Tony, okay?
Okay, maybe we should use a different name. Let's call him Studley.
Well, I must have guessed his name. I'll call him Studley, all right. Let me... If Studley... Do you like Jackie? And you be him for a moment. Tell me what he would say.
He would say, I love her.
But do you like her?
Most of the time.
Yeah, I hear. There's a little blank wall that you run into right here, Jackie. There's a blank wall that you're running into with him because you don't know how he feels towards you. You don't know. And there's a place here that you want to discover. You want to be able to find out. And
yeah.
Somehow you want to be able to get the truth without accusing him, without shouting at him, without going after his face.
Yeah.
You know, and it's hard to get to. It takes skill.
Yeah.
To ask him. There should be a book. How do you find out if your partner likes you? There
yeah.
should be a book.
Yep.
Not by evidence, not by what they do. How do you ask them? So if you sit with a friend and you tell a friend how dear you feel to me, you know, how much I like you and I really enjoy you, and that's easy to do with a friend.
Yep.
Why is it so hard to do with a partner? Because the investment is such. Yep. You know, you're so afraid of the consequences. If you say the wrong thing, that's what you were saying, Ben, you know, the wrong thing could send you out to left field and then you got to live with the misery of it.
Yeah.
Well, I hope you find out.
I'm going to find out. That was awesome. Thank you so much.
Sure. Nice to talk to you.
You too. Have a good day. Bye-bye.
212-957-2729. Jesus, these are such bad stories. These are not my glory stories today. It must be the storm brought the temperature down. This is Armand DeMille with you with the Positive Mind here on WBAI 99.5 FM on your dial with Julian Joiello and Ben Starr. We are looking at this whole issue of what it's like. We could grab one more. Come on, Gary got off late. Grab the thing. One more call before the world comes in. By the way, if you need to reach me after the program, go to armand@thepositivemind.com. Send me an email.
We're taking a week layoff, and we'll be back in two.
On the 11th.
Yeah, on February
11th. 2 hours.
Right.
2 hours.
And we will be doing a two-hour special that's closely related to this topic.
Very much so. And you got Jeremiah, all the J's. Hey, Jeremiah, you're on the air.
How are you, sir? Good afternoon.
Good, good. We got a minute, and I wanted to take it for you.
All right. Now, I want to ask you the question because you're making good points. Now, my wife, is I called her to give her the correct date, new court date, and she got upset with me because I did not go to court with the attorney to hear the conversation between the judge and the attorney. So I'm trying to show her that there's no reason to get mad at me because I didn't go to court. What would you, how would you, or what would you say she's doing at that point?
Oh, I don't know.
I will, you don't know?
No.
I'm just asking your opinion.
I know, I know. I wish I had an opinion. I don't know.
Okay.
I'd have to know her. I wish I knew. If if I was that wise, Jeremiah, if I were that wise, I would have told you to go to work yesterday.
Yeah, well, they say you should go to work because of the snowstorm outside.
I know, I know.
Okay.
That wise, that wise, I'm not. Thank you for calling in.
All right, be blessed.
Be blessed. Be blessed. Nice phrase. Hey, this is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. We have to get going because we like to get off on air on time because WBAI needs us to kind of stick with them so that they could do their scheduling as they do. Keep in touch. Now, remember, next week we'll announce it, but on February 11th, two-hour program about relationships. Don't miss it from 1 o'clock, February 11th. You'll be hearing from us. Send me an email if you want to be in touch with me, armand@thepositivemind.com. You could also reach my two associates, Julian Joyello or Ben Starr, through my email address.